All right, welcome to a special edition of the Sophisticated Marketers Podcast live from Advertising Week Europe. My guest today is the VP of Sales for Bing Advertising, Axel Steinman. Welcome to the program. How are you doing today?
Very nice. Thank you for having me.
Axel, I was wondering if you could just tell me a little bit about how you got to the role you're at. You've had a very long career with Bing, correct?
Yes, 12 years in Microsoft in advertising, a longer career at Microsoft, but longer than I want to remember.
How has your role evolved? I'm sure search has just gone through the roof over the past decade, right?
So. It's incredible. Think that we started this business from zero, basically, from scratch, with a very strong incumbent in the market. And thinking that today in the US, for instance, we have 35% market share. In the UK, we have 26% market share. I mean, it's unbelievable. We come in 3 years, we more than doubled the business. So it's really becoming very relevant for consumers, of course, and therefore for marketers to use our platform to reach out with high quality to those consumers. We care about quality of advertising. We care about understanding deeply the consumer intent for presenting to the consumers with their very best opportunity or choice or interest. Therefore, we don't stack them with advertising over what is acceptable and useful for them.
And what do you love most about your job? Staying at one company for that long, you must really love what you do.
Yes, of course. It's the opportunities. I was born in Argentina. I have lived in 5 different places with Microsoft. I moved 5 times. My kids are growing as citizens of the world. I have dual citizenship by now, and all that happened because of the opportunities I had in this company. I never got bored. I have run businesses literally in every continent of the planet, direct businesses. So it's just the opportunities and being excited every day and having new challenges. So why would you leave?
Wow, incredible, incredible. So I want to dive in. I want to talk a little bit about the future of search. I want to talk about AI a little bit because I think it's a fascinating space for marketers. First of all, I want to talk a little bit about marketing, search versus marketers. So from the States, when I was starting off my digital marketing career, it seemed like there was the elite of the elite who were the search marketers, right? And they didn't really talk to the other marketers so much because they had such a specialized skill set. It's very technical. But now it seems like the search engines are sort of taking care of a lot of the technical aspects and making it easier for marketers just to do better job at being marketers. So I'm seeing the SEO specialists kind of start to get into the content marketing space, and then the content marketers try to get into the SEO space a little bit. So a lot of cross-pollination there. Have you seen that evolution?
Absolutely. Let me frame it a bit differently than you said, but it's exactly what you observe. In the past, search was left to the last mile of performance. So it's based on analytics, it's based on a bidding platform, which is a highly technologically based business. And it was very separated from brand, which is what most marketers do, most agencies do. Everybody sounds more creative work, no? The branding space. And then at the performance level, when you really click, that was search. Now what happened over the years is 2 things. First is all the business became more technologically based, so everybody has to develop those skills. Second is the traditional branding is exhausting consumers, has overwhelmed them, and consumers became more impervious to traditional advertising. So you need to really start narrowing down to the target audiences rather than just, you know, shoot to the bulk, no? In terms of trying to reach as many people as possible, because that bothers people. Therefore, you need more technology to really understand your audiences, mostly in digital. So the whole business became more technological, so things merged in that sense. And then finally, what is happening in terms of the future of search or the evolution of search is not just the last mile. We have research that shows that consumers use search engines all along their consumer decision journey. So they research, they compare, they evaluate their options until they go and buy, all along the way they use search. So search is not just the last mile, it's the whole environment. Marketers that use search in the smartest way, they use it also in their brand strategies.
So I think, you know, I always say, as a content marketer myself, Everyone, there's no question on what type of content you should be creating, because the data is in the keyword research, is in the topics that are branched out from that. So there's really, really no question. I love that. It's the marketers.
Let me add one more thing, which is very important on this. The search is the digital experience in which consumers express their very best intent. It's the most clear signal of what the consumer is trying to do. When you are looking for information and you bring a display ad, well, you assume the consumer is doing something because of the website they are. But when they go to a search engine and they say, I want to know about this, they are expressing the best intent. So search is the best signal to understand where the consumer mindset is and how open the consumer is to receive a message from a brand at that moment. That is what makes it so valuable and relevant.
It's, and it's up to us marketers to stop guessing and start looking at the data and then mapping our strategy back to that.
Exactly,
so
right.
I want to talk about your take on CMOs. And do you think that the C-suites in general are paying enough attention to where search is heading and where it's moving? And if not, what do they need to do and where can they stay up to date?
I think they are starting to do that. Think that CMOs are under tremendous pressure right now. As consumers move to digital, CMOs that were always typically on the last mile, now they need to be the voice of the consumer inside the whole company, because consumers, by adopting digital, they are first, they want now the same reactions from brands that they get from their devices. They want immediate reaction, they want 24/7, they want immediate satisfaction, they want their devices to surprise them, so they want the brands to surprise them. So all that behavior means that for a business to satisfy consumers with those expectations, the whole business needs to transform. From the moment you design the products, to how you manufacture the products, to how you distribute the products, and of course to how you communicate about your products. So the whole digital transformation of the companies is driven by this consumer changing. And the CMOs that were in the last mile now are at the core of that digital transformation, because they are the ones that have the wealth of the understanding of the consumers in the company. So CMOs are under tremendous pressure, developing new disciplines. And within all those multiple disciplines is the technology acumen.
Yeah.
And within the technology acumen, certainly the search acumen becomes very, very relevant, as well as some of the technological trends that are happening on the future that there will be critical factors for marketing in the future that I think CMOs are starting to realize about that, are starting to learn, and it's a journey, of course.
So where, if you're a CMO, and you might be a little intimidated by the how quickly search is moving and how specialized it's been, where do you go to keep up? How do you stay on top of these trends as a CMO? Where do you go? Where do you learn these things?
Well, to me, you need to split that into, let's say, the short term and the long term. In the short term, what happens is, what I said before is, you need to really understand what are the insights, the signals that you can get, the intent signals you can get from consumers through your search services. So getting deeper into data, understanding how you can merge the data of the engines with the data, with your first party data you have from your base of users, how you can really explore and exploit better the platform to reach out with more quality to consumers. We have features in search, in Bing, that if you use those features, you get 40% more click-through rate than if you don't use them. Just adding extensions on your copies,
just by tweaking a little bit.
Just to use more real estate space that we give you as a client. Use that. It's there. Use it, and you get more performance. So elements like that are the short term, and consider search as part of your whole campaign, from brand to performance, not just performance. Yeah. So that's the short term. In the long term, there are, I think, 5 core technologies or core trends that are happening that will affect dramatically search and the whole advertising. Let me list them and happy to elaborate
more. Of course.
But first one is voice on everything, and voice on search, of course. The second is the rise of the digital assistants, and from the very basic digital assistants to truly assistants that are the interface between me and my whole digital world.
Yeah.
So there's someone in the middle now filtering for me based on my interests. Third is how the IoT, the Internet of Things, will create an explosion of devices, and I want all those devices to seamlessly recognize me and seamlessly bring me same type of responses according to the specific format factor, but the concept is saying, I don't want my refrigerator and my phone and my PC and my tower in the kitchen not knowing that they are the same and I am the same. No? So that consideration is very important. The idea that the merge of the life, your work life, who you are at work, with the tools you use at work that your company gives you, your personal life, in which you are starting to use the same tools, because when you are in your home, you actually don't change your same device. You use the same device you use at work, and you use the same tools. And then your professional persona, which is not who you are at work, it's your professional networks. LinkedIn is exactly that. So when you know the consumers across these three lives, you know them better than if you know them in just one life. So having 2 billion consumers in a social network might not be more powerful than having 1 billion of consumers, but that you know them in their three lives. And that's what Microsoft is bringing to the plate.
My entire home will be connected, Axel, but I'll still have 3 different remotes to turn on the Sky TV cable network here. So hopefully we'll tackle that one day too.
That is going to change with digital assistants, I believe. Yeah.
So I want to talk about the voice search. And I have an Alexa, right? We all have Alexas. I have them all throughout my house. But I'm still hesitant to actually, you know, yell out a search in front of my, you know, in front of my wife or my child. Not, it's just like, I don't want to disrupt the household. So when is it going to be mainstream to do a voice search? And I'm sure when you're on the go and you're talking to your phone or, you know, whatever, it's probably much more accessible and probably much more popular. But when is this going to become everyday life where it's second nature?
It's a great question, because these days in Adweek, I heard presentations and people are talking about voice and voice search, and it's very interesting because you realize that there is a lot of confusion out there. And in my mind, I classify this in 3 ways. First, there is the intent of completing a task. So for simple questions and simple requests that can be solved instantly, and without long responses, voice is awesome.
Yeah.
So what is the temperature? 15 degrees. Turn on the lights. Buy the same soap that I bought last week. Perfect, done. For that, voice and screenless voice is perfect. And that is what digital assistants will solve for you, and maybe your Alexa Tower or your Cortana Invoke gives you as
just
a
yesterday,
solution.
It was, Alexa, how do you make taco seasoning at home, and they list the ingredients, whipped it up, no problem.
Well, so. but that leads me to a second scenario, which is we as human beings, we have 3 referential systems, which is the way we capture the world and process the information from the world. We are visual, we are auditive, and we are sensorial, let's say tactile or kinesthetic. So the problem is we all have a preferred one, but most people are visual. So if you give me a list of 10 things you tell me 10 things, I might remember 2 or 3 at the end. If you show me visually 10 things, I will remember 6 or 7 of them. The point is, because we are mostly visual, I think the combination that will be most pervasive is voice and screen. So screen-based voice. So you talk because it's faster to talk. You talk 3 times faster than you write. It's better, more efficient, more natural. You talk, but the information comes back in some type of screens. It doesn't need to be the screen of a smartphone. It can be a projection in the wall. It can be a projection on your countertop in the kitchen. But you need to visualize things for being more effective. So that's the second scenario. So the first one is short commands. Second is visual and voice together.
Yeah.
And the third one is content, audio content distribution, which is just radio on demand, and that will happen. I mean, your podcast, people listen to that, and you can call that podcast as a content. That's perfect, and that's the third scenario, which is not the same than solving tasks for me or learning or doing stuff for me, no? Based on voice and visual.
So as a marketer, you don't have to necessarily think too far in the future of, like, what does marketing look like in a screenless world, but how do you adapt your strategy to match the 3 things that you just said, right?
Well, in this... Great question, because in the first scenario I described, just short commands, I don't see truly a strong marketing opportunity there or advertising
that's
opportunity.
That's interesting.
Absolutely not.
It's going to be, it is what it is.
No. In the second one, absolutely yes, because you have visualization. You can understand there is more details and more content that the consumer wants to have. And in the radio on demand, of course, is radio. We have been doing that advertising in radio for 100 years as a civilization. Now, the concept also that is very interesting as a trend that is happening is automated buying.
Yeah.
80% of your spend is actually repetitive spend. And people, we have research, we have just done research, Microsoft and e-consultancy in the US, but yeah. I think it's applicable everywhere in the world, where consumers says that, 80% of consumers says that, wow, technology, I mean, there are so many options for me out there that would be great if technology helps me to find the perfect option for me right now and not forcing me to navigate 100 things to find my perfect option. That is automating buying, because once, and that's critical for marketers, because the incumbents are safe, yeah. The challenger brands, well, it's a tough world to live in, and that's going to happen. So how you intersect, how you now market to assistants rather than market to consumers, because the assistants will interface the consumers to the digital world and make decisions for them, and automated buying for them. So how... There will be a full new discipline in the future, marketing discipline, which is marketing machine to machine.
Wow. M to M.
Let's see how it goes.
So how do you? What's the best advice you have to give to a marketer to think about optimizing their content when they're in the creation process for mapping it back to success in this new world of future and of voice, AI powered? What's the best advice you give to a marketer in the creation process and then when they look to distribute that content?
Personalization of messages, brand positioning, solutions, services is the key of the present also. Consumers need and want personalized answers. So when you create your contents, when you create your positioning, the same way you segment and you understand how you are gonna position your brand for the different segments, you need to create your contents in a way that they are granular enough, modularized enough, that then through technology you can grab the components that are relevant to create the perfect message for that specific narrow audience, sub-segment that you are tackling at that point. And the technology helps you to do that, helps you to build messages on the fly with components and help you to know exactly who you are targeting to in terms of interest and needs to build on the fly that message. And touch that consumer.
What's the any surprising in the data that you have? Any surprising ways that people are using voice search, or any some terms you're like, wow, I can't believe somebody is actually asking that question.
It's not surprising, but of course, when we talk much longer than when we write.
Yeah.
So the concept of keywords in search engines in voice search doesn't work anymore. You come up with phrases, and of course, the way we talk is the way our brains are structured, and there are no two brains alike. Therefore, what you have is an amazing explosion of different queries that you need to understand through artificial intelligence and interpret what is the consumer intent behind a phrase that is structured in a very creative and personal way. So that puts pressure on how you set up your campaigns on a search engine, how you use features like broad match, how you understand that, well, the consumer intent is this, but the keywords are that. So how you create campaigns and using the tools that we offer you that can extend to the intent, although the keywords you are bidding on are not the same. So there are technologies that are helping us to do that. But voice brings all that new complexity.
You mentioned machine-to-machine marketing, which I've never heard before, and it kind of blew my mind. I want to go back to that for a second. What's the human role in machine-to-machine marketing, or is there one?
There is one. I think technology is there to empower talent to do even better, to do their best, to be even more creative, more strategic. So the technology... what it forces us is to elevate our skills and our understanding. So going back to your question, is the artificial intelligence behind the assistants is the one that needs to understand the consumer intent very well. So now the assistant is part of your marketing, in a sense. How you understand what are the preferences of the user, how you understand by learning with artificial intelligence and machine learning over time, what could be, how you can predict what could be the best next need of that consumer. So first you need to jump there. So the machine-to-machine marketing is also, in a sense, feeding the assistant with the options for the assistant to choose from.
Wow, yeah.
So and that is still requires the intelligence of a person because, yeah, you have artificial intelligence on both ends dialoguing, but who builds that? Who feeds that? Who understands the nuances of that? So it's humans.
Are you at all concerned with the fact that some AI is returning results and making decisions, and we don't understand completely why? Is that a concern?
No, tell me more.
So if you if an AI makes a decision out because it's learning, because it's continuous learning, and we can't figure out why it made that decision in either search or in a search result maybe, or maybe just in a decision with something that the AI is automated, should we be concerned that we don't understand exactly why AI came up with that result or that recommendation or made that decision?
No, I don't think so. I don't feel that it's going to happen. Actually, the problem is the opposite. Is until AI feels confident to make a decision, might continue asking me things that to me are clear already. I told you already, and you're still asking me. I don't think there is the risk is that it overdoes and goes and decides before having enough input from me.
So
I mean, programs might fail, I assume, but.
So we're not too concerned about the doomsday scenario where AI starts to become self-aware and reaches that the singularity. Is that how far do you think you ever think about this? Are we far off from this?
I am optimistic, and I think we are talking about a topic that it's about faith or hope or beliefs. And so I am optimistic. I think we will not get there because we will be smarter than that as humankind. However, I can also say technology is not in itself good or bad, it's how you use it. And we need to be responsible about the use of technology. And we see that we can be responsible or not responsible in how we use consumers' data. And we just see how the industry is becoming more relevant and more scrutinized. And we see that some people are not doing the right thing sometimes, no? So, yeah, the risk is there, but also the mechanism to solve that is there. And the last comment in that sense, I would say from Microsoft perspective, more than my personal opinion, we are very, very keen on the concept that artificial intelligence is there to enhance human beings. It's not to replace human beings, not to control human beings. It's to unleash the power of human beings to higher levels. As you remove automated tasks, as you remove simple things, as you provide new insights to a human being to make a decision, because you can do a much faster intelligent process with a machine, well, that just unleashes the power that the human brain has, the creativity, the strategic thinking, the uniqueness of human beings that we don't need to build artificial intelligence for that because we have humans which are better.
Two more questions for you, Axel. Again, thank you for your time. First, I want to ask the biggest question on all marketers' minds. You said marketers are not going to be replaced. They'll be supplemented. But AI and creativity, I know this comes up all the time. I heard a Christmas song a year or so ago written by AI. It was bloody awful. But I did hear that AI wrote a musical, put it on London, on London's version of Broadway, and it actually got decent reviews. Where are you at with the role of AI versus creativity and the human role in that?
Yes, AI can grow to high levels of sophistication. We just, last year we showed how with artificial intelligence tools, we were able to create a Rembrandt based on the best traits that Rembrandt had in his paintings, and we recreated a new Rembrandt.
Fascinating.
That experts said that, yeah, that is the style of Rembrandt. So now the question is not that. The question is to me, wow, that was awesome to copy something. That was also to take traits from a true creative being and reproduce them. The song might have taken the most typical lyrics and the most typical tunes
and
of Christmas
together,
right? And create, mash them in a new way because every song is truly different. I feel it's feeding from the creativity of humans. Those descriptions, those scenarios are feeding from the creativity of human. On the other hand, there is an angle of creativity that will be probably solved by by technology, which, again, as I said before, empowers us and forces us to develop new skills, to unleash other capabilities that we are not using yet because we are stuck on the current level.
Yeah.
I mean, being creative is a constant exploration. I paint myself, but as a hobby, and I am very bad. But when I see the real good ones, what they tell me is, listen, creativity is a lot of work and transpiration. So it's not just only inspiration. What means is we need to unleash that opportunity to work more, to try more, to exercise more, to practice more for humans.
Yeah.
So
AI,
I am
will
optimistic
will,
again.
I will work together in harmony with AI. My last question for you, a little bit of a personal question. You're obviously passionate about AI, but who inspires you in this space right now? Who do you think's really pushing the idea forward? Who do you look up to? Who do you read? Who inspires you?
Well, I admire, for instance, the team inside Microsoft that just announced a few months ago that we achieved simultaneous translation, words recognition.
Oh, in China, right?
Exactly.
I was reading that on the blog.
Exactly.
Yes.
We have achieved 96% accuracy in recognizing words, which is better than human beings. So if you dictate to someone, they will recognize less than 96%. Now technology enables what? Enables an international dialogue. You can have that in Skype today. Skype translator. You can establish a communication with a person in China or in Germany or in France or all the languages that I don't speak, and have a conversation real time with simultaneous translation done by artificial intelligence on Skype. That is empowering my ability to connect with someone that was educated in completely different culture and language and still connect and develop businesses, develop ideas, develop opportunities. So that's a great example of how artificial intelligence enhanced my abilities, because I'm not going to learn a new language at this age anytime soon, but I can still communicate, and that unleashes my communication interest, which is my unique capability. It's not the language itself, so it removes a barrier. So I admire things like that. Those elements inspire me. When we have the ability with artificial intelligence to detect early symptoms of diseases, severe diseases, based on the questions that people ask and the analysis of millions of data points that shows that people with the same symptoms end up having those diseases.
Yeah.
And we can detect that early, at the moment people are asking the questions, and send them to a doctor. Oh, I am outstanding. That inspires me. We can really improve people's life. We can tackle diseases ahead. We can make people communicate better. All that with artificial intelligence. Who wouldn't want that?
A fascinating conversation. Axel, thank you so much for your time, my friend. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.